Hello, I'm Dr. Lou Condor, technical communicator, writer, editor, and adjunct lecturer at California State University, Dominguez Hills. Welcome to C Cubed, Clear, Concise Communication. This is the podcast for the information design course. In this class, we discuss document design, layout, graphics, and usability in technical documentation.
Hi, class. This podcast is on color, layout, and graphics. That's a pretty intense topic, and I'll tell you why, because it's so inclusive of so many aspects. And as we went through the course, you can remember that even back in the advanced course, we covered tables and kind of the way to situate your material near where you're talking about it and things like that. So that's just the very tip of the beginner iceberg. Now we're going to talk a little bit more about color and meaning, and you could have classes on this. People have degrees on this. So we're just touching on the very next step of the iceberg. So now color has different meanings in different cultures. We've been talking about culture, cultural meaning of signs and symbols, mental models, all that kind of stuff. Well, in different cultures, it's true of color. Like, for example, white in the Hindu culture is steth, self-illumination or light. So you can have these different types of color differences between cultures. So again, you have to know your audience. These things are changing, and they can change in the future really quickly because of globalization. But it's just something to be aware of. Be aware of the history of a culture if you're writing for that culture. Now, color can be used for branding or associating with a product or organization. For example, American Express green, Coca-Cola red, things like that, they become iconic. And yes, color can be iconic when linked with iconic symbolism. You have to sort of think of that as you go along. Think about what Google looks like. What does their logo look like? What does Starbucks look like? Start thinking about logos and the use of color in those logos. And there's a reason certain colors are picked for certain logos and corporations. Now, you want to kind of, as you dive into cultural meaning, you want to think, you know, what comes to mind? Like in American culture, you might hear green with envy or the green-eyed monster. These are really old sayings, and they're probably not the great examples, but you kind of, if you're in American culture, you get what the green-eyed monster is. And that can be good if you're targeting only that culture, but if you're looking at a broader based culture, a global one, not everyone would get that meaning, then it becomes confusing. Now, let's look at other types of color. Think about yellow. We talked about the mental models and the symbolism, and if you look across cultures at their different symbols, some really have very similar color usage, like yellow. A yellow hard hat or a yield sign, they're yellow in the United States, but they can be also yellow in other cultures. A stop sign is probably the most particular use of color, global use of color. If you look up stop signs and look it up in multiple cultures, many have that familiar stop sign form, but they will still all be red for the most part, not 100%, but the majority will be red. They'll use red in some way to demonstrate that they want you to stop or pay attention to the sign. Red is one of those colors that brings the eye in, makes you pay attention. Now, there's some other cultural things with the color of money. Everyone's money tends to be a different color throughout the world. Some are multicolored. There's reasons for it. Like in the United States, color of money has been green for quite some time, but there's an attempt to change it to a different color to prevent fraud, and that's being resisted. So this is something you have to really remember. In some cultures, the majority of the individuals will resist color changes for the sake of color changes, even if there's a logical reason behind it. So let's look more at other colors. Blue, it reduces mental excitability, helps to concentrate, it's cooling and sedative. Its psychological response is trust, security, conservative, technology. And to show this, it's used by banks in the U.S. to symbolize trust. to make you feel a certain way. If you look at slide 8 on the presentation, you'll see all the different banks that I've collected, and it'll show you their logos, and it'll show you how this can really influence a user. Let's look at yellow again. Yellow tends to be stimulating, cheery. It draws your attention. So I think in the big picture, certain colors draw a user's attention. And it gives a psychological response of optimism, hope, philosophy. It just depends on, and even cowardice. So it depends on the culture. Purple, it can be soothing and sedative. It's psychological response for many centuries has been royalty. It's a hard to replicate color before the invention of modern chemistry. It was only used by royalty, so it became a color that had more significance. It can be spirituality, transformation, arrogance. It doesn't appear as commonly in nature as other colors. Now let's look at black. If we look at slide 11, we start looking at that and look at the different meanings of black. There's a black cat. There's a picture of a woman in a very, slinky outfit that's black. Black is for mourning, and there's even goth. So for all those different subcultures in a bigger culture, it has different meanings. So, black can run the whole gamut. It can be depressing and dark, but it also can give you the psychological response of power, sexuality, death, fear, unhappiness, elegance. It's all of the above. In Western culture, it signifies conservative elegance or wealth, and is used a lot in packaging and events. Example, black tie event. Okay, we've heard of that term in the US a lot, and you can hear it, you can see it in a lot of things that are award ceremonies, etc. Let's talk a little bit more about red. It's exciting, it's stimulating, but it also gives you warnings. It has power, energy, warmth, danger, passion, aggression. So it works well in addition to other colors, and it can have other symbolistic meanings. It's used heavily at Christmas here, and I believe, if I remember right, that comes from the Coca-Cola company, and the certain color reds that are even registered in Pantone colors. These type of colors really have a strong psychological effect. And in other cultures, it can mean joy. Now let's look at green. It can have a cooling, relaxing, soothing sort of connotation. We think of the forest sometimes, nature, healthy, luck, jealousy, rich. It's kind of a weird, interesting comparison, because like the green-eyed monster, which of course many of us know as meaning jealousy, can also, you have the four-leaf clover, which could mean luck. You're out in nature, and many things in nature are green. There are other colors, but heavily green, like trees and plants. It can attract investors, and in some countries it's not popular at all. Now, I want to talk a little bit more about how we see color. In today's technology, there's two types of color and the way we deal with it as a tech writer. One are your computer screen, and that uses RGB, which is red, green, and blue. That's literally how it presents all the colors. A mixture of each one of those in different percentages gives you all the colors that you see on a screen, which is pretty much all the colors. In print process, because they use inks, they use CMYK, which is cyan, magenta, yellow, and black. Anybody who's had a four-color printer would know that. And now you know that there are more than four colors in a printer. But we're just going to go with these four for now. But sometimes they have, they have six color and more today in today's technology. And that will just make it more enhancing, like you'll enhance the blacks. Black will always be black. In CMYK, it should be, but, because you're mixing colors, there could be occasionally issues. That's why they calibrate printers at times. So let's go into CMYK. Like I said, it's used in printing. If you look at the graphic, you'll see how mixing all the colors, literally mixing the inks, will give you certain colors. And the lack of ink will give you the color of the paper, which technically would be white. So each color is added to the first color and blocks the reflection of the first color. In that way, the color is subtracted. Okay? So, in other words, if you put all the inks on, it becomes black. As you can see, is the K in the center is the black. So all, you know, it subtracted all the background away and it is now black. So if colors are used together, all color is subtracted and you get black. Think of it, if you're mixing colors in a paint box, you know, a kid's paint box, you would get black. You know, if you muddled them all together, it would just get dark. Now let's talk about monitors. Monitors are totally different because they're not dealing with physical paint. They are dealing with light. Light emitted from the computer. In the old days, it was diodes. I'm not sure what emits the light anymore to the screen, but you know, phosphors used to get excited, the old TVs and the old monitors, and they would deliver color. An RGB color monitor, which is what we all have today on your laptop or your desktop, it uses additive color because of the light being admitted. So each light adds to the previous light. You basically are on a black background. When your screen has no light, it's black. And then when it adds red, green, and blue, when they're all added together, you get white. So it's kind of the opposite of print when you think about it. It's an additive system. So instead of subtracting everything and getting the black, you're adding everything and getting white. Think about it as different color paper, if you will. When all three colors are added, they equal white, and light behaves differently than print. Ink versus light. So it's just, you have to remember this because all the programs that do print, like say Adobe InDesign, even Photoshop, you may need to do, you know, on some things CMYK and some things RGB. As we move forward, we'll probably do less and less print, but that's still a ways off. So it's just something to think about. Now let's do a wrap up on color. Why does it matter? It matters depending on what you're outputting. Are you going to print? Are you going to literally go to a press and have it printed? Or are you just going to a video screen? Or are you going to a computer screen? A video and a computer screen are pretty much synonymous today. If you need to have your photograph printed by a commercial printer, you know, using full color process printing, you will have to convert RGB files to CMYK, and you'll need to check them because it shifts. So you'll see a shift in color. I did a mock-up example on slide 20. So go to slide 20 or what would be page 20 in the handout, and you can see the difference. There'll be a slight color shift, and you'd have to correct for that. It matters. For example, you need to reproduce specific colors for vendors. So for example, if you work for American Express, you'll need to do American Express green. I'm trying to remember, I haven't worked for them in a long time, but I think that they actually have a Pantone color. Now let's talk a little bit about layout and graphics. Now page layout involves typography, design elements, and visuals. Readers notice visuals first. Visuals include photography, drawings, tables, charts, graphs, rules, lines, boxes, captions. Those make sense, right? Anything graphic on the page is a graphic. Now, let's think about the psychological changes of shapes. Now, a circle, it gives you a kind of a connection, a community, endurance, safety, warmth, comfort. You'll see signs and food shaped in this manner. Pies are round. You know, a lot of signs, welcome signs and stuff could be round. Certain shapes are associated with certain organizations. And that leads us right into the triangle. Now, I've put some particular examples on page 26 or slide 26. It has this sort of inference of energy, power, balance, religion, science, strength, and aggression. The two things I show here are like the Freemason symbol and the Delta symbol. So you can see where people kind of get that idea. The rectangle and square are probably the most commonly used in my opinion. They represent order, logic, security, and a feeling of mass, volume, and being solid. I mean, think about this. Credit cards are rectangular. You know, I gave an example of an authorized personnel only sign. It's rectangular. A lot of the signs we see are that are non-warning signs or rectangular, road signs, things like that. They want to infer that sort of strength, like this is the speed you should be doing. You know, this is do not, you know, this road is slippery when wet. So it sort of gives you the feeling of very solid logic in order. Now let's talk about the graphic writer's checklist. Creating visuals, you want to keep some things in mind on, and that's why I have a checklist. You want to keep your visuals simple. Specify units of measure at all times when they're required. Consistent terminology. Refer to visuals in your text. Define abbreviations the first time they appear. This is for sure an APA thing, but it's in other style guides as well, because you want that clarity. You want to be clear and concise for your reader. Now let's talk about integrating the visuals. Some other things on this writer's checklist. Clarify why a visual is used. It's either got to be in proximity to the type, it needs to be labeled, and it needs to be clear. If it's not mentioned in the text, if it's not labeled, get rid of it. Include a description by the type, by the text, the body of text that describes what's going on. That's why in previous examples, if you remember in the advanced class, I would say you have to include a paragraph describing what's going on with your budget or whatever, because if you don't, there's no point. Place visuals as close as possible. Check editorial guidelines when preparing for trade journals. There may be specific resolutions, sizes, and ways of labeling. So if you're writing technical material for trade journals, you have to meet their criteria. And so, but that's when you're doing more collaborative documentation. So, you know, you can always check, but and you know, in an article you might not have that, but in a long manual. So for example, if you have a manual that is 400 pages, you most likely will have a figures list or a figures table so that people know where to find a particular figure associated with something that they're looking for. That's it for this week. This was a little bit of a long lecture, but congratulations, you got through it. Very exciting. And have a great rest of your week. Thanks. That's it for this podcast. Thank you for joining me. Music for this recording was supplied by Dano Songs Royalty Free Music at www.danosongs.com. Copyright 2018.